Jesus himself said that if he were to be lifted up from the earth, he would draw all men to himself. And of course, he was speaking of the cross. And I believe there's also a sense in which Jesus is speaking to us as to our responsibility to lift his name, to lift his person, to lift the reality of Jesus before the world so that the world might more clearly see Jesus and understand who Jesus is, what he has said, what he has done. And yes, be saved. Jesus wants to speak to the world through you, through me, so that there is that day when, yes, all can cry out, hallelujah, because it's real. They've come to know for themselves who Jesus is, the saving power, the saving grace of Jesus. Lord, we've all been poor and powerless. We've all been weak, lost, lonely. We've all been thieves. We're all sinners. That's who we are. That's who we've been. But in your grace and your mercy, you've redeemed us. You've redeemed us, Lord, so that we can live in right relationship with you now and for eternity. Lord, in this redemption, there also comes responsibility. Lord, to be people who will continue with our words, with our lives, to speak to who you are and what you've done. Lord, help us. Help us to lift you higher. Wherever we're at, whoever we're with, to lift you higher. So that people can see you. People can call upon your name and be saved. Lord, help us to be your people. And help us now as we enter into your word this morning. Lord, we need your help. We need your Holy Spirit's help to enter into this word, to get a grasp of it, to consider how it applies to our lives. Help us as we enter into this series of sermons and we consider the business that you are seeking to conduct in and through our lives. God, we want to be part of that busyness. Help us. Help us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Over these next 5 weeks or so, Sunday morning sermons, Wednesday adult studies, they're all going to focus on a topic that, in my opinion, and not just in my opinion, but in the opinion of your congregational elder, Carter Romo, as well. In both our opinions, this truly is a topic, a concern, a crucial point in our personal relationship with the Lord, in our life we share together as a family of God's people. Carter and I have been working on this material for, it's got to be close to 3 months now. So this better be good, right? If you have that much time to work on something, it better be really good. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Folks, how many hours in your day? 24. Not a hard question. None of these are trick questions, okay? 24 hours in the day. How many days in the week? 7. All right. How many days in the year? Yeah. You know, we got weeks, we got months, we got years. It's all the same. What we've just said, I mean, this applies to me, it applies to you, okay? But let me ask you one more question. How many days? How many weeks, months, how many years left in your life here on earth? Yeah, hopefully a few, someone said, okay? Yeah, hopefully a few. But that's a question we really can't answer. We can talk about time in the sense of, you know, this is what makes a day, this is what makes a week, a month, a year. But when we talk about time in terms of how much time is left to us here on this earth, that's a mystery. We don't know. There just isn't a way to answer that question. And it's that question that brings us face to face with one of, if not the most precious commodity that you and I possess in terms of our earthly existence. It is this thing of time. And more specifically, this thing of time in which to actually live out the lives we've been given by God. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, we believe that life, the very life we live, it's a gift from God. And we believe that the time God has given us in which to live this life, whether it stretches on for years and years and years, whether it's a relatively shorter period of time, we nonetheless believe that this time God has given us to live, it's a gift. It's a gift from his hand. And if we really believe that, if we really believe that time, life, energy, existence, that all of this is a gift from God, what responsibilities? What responsibilities come along with these gifts? In what way are we responsible to God for how we use these lives, how we use our time, our energy? You know, in the Gospels, Jesus occasionally told parables. And in these parables, he would talk about his followers, people like you and me. And he would describe us as stewards. A steward, that's a word we don't use all that often anymore, but a steward is a servant. And a very special kind of servant. A steward is a servant entrusted with overseeing some portion of his or her master's resources. The steward's responsibility is to ensure that these resources are used wisely, that they're not squandered or wasted or lost. At the very least, the steward is responsible to see that the master's resources are protected, that they're kept safe, and really it's so much more than that. Beyond that, the steward is responsible to see that these resources are invested in such a way that they grow and expand, that they are productive and fruitful on behalf of the master. Jesus said, this is the kind of servant, this is the kind of steward that God is looking for in his kingdom. When he calls us to himself, when he calls us to be his people, he's calling us to be stewards of the resources he entrusts to us. And again, I don't mean to beat you over the head with this, but folks, these lives that we've been given, the time, the energy to live them, these are among the very greatest, most precious of the resources God has given us to steward, to manage, to use in such a way that his purposes are accomplished. Now let me ask you some more questions. Do you believe that God created you physically, that God is recreating you spiritually for a purpose? Do you believe your life has a God-given purpose or a set of God-given purposes? Marilyn, does your life have a purpose under God? Amen, of course it does. Doug, yeah, your life has a purpose. David, there's a purpose. Toon, has God given your life a purpose? Yes, okay? Well, I think we all recognize and acknowledge that truth. We may not always fully understand all of the specific details at a given time and place, but at least in a general sense, we understand, yeah, God, I'm here for a reason. There's things you want me to do. There's things you want me to accomplish in this life. Now, if we are in fact going to fulfill God's purpose for our lives, how important is it that we be wise stewards? The time, the energy, the life, the resources that God has given us. How important is that if we're actually going to cooperate with God in seeing his purpose accomplished? We're getting down to the nub of what this series is all about, okay? This is what we're really getting at in these coming weeks. You see, God is our master. And God has business. God has eternal business to accomplish in and through our lives. God has provided us with these incredible resources, our very lives, the time and the energy with which to live these lives, also that we would accomplish his business. But, and in the immortal words of Pee Wee Herman, there's always a big but, okay? And that's just the reality. But, with all these gifts, all these resources God provides us, there also comes temptation. There comes this temptation in a thousand different shapes and sizes and colors. There comes this temptation to use our time and our resources to do our own thing, to turn away from God's business, to turn away from God's purpose, to turn away from those things that God has set before us, and to do our own thing, our own way. And so much of this, our own thing, it's not God's business. What it boils down to is our busyness. And this is the conflict with which I feel so many of us as God's people today in the world in which we live, this is the conflict that we are faced with. It is a conflict at the very core of our existence. Our busyness in conflict with God's business. Our tendency to run here and there, doing this and that, investing time and energy here, there, everywhere. And all the while, God's purpose somehow being lost in that. God's business falling through the cracks. We get to the end of our day, we get to the end of our week, we get to the end of our month, and we wonder, where did the time go? And what did any of it mean? What did any of it produce? Where's the value? Where's the worth? What am I doing with my life? It feels like I just spend my entire day running. Okay? I know some of you can identify with that, especially if you have children. Okay? What is being accomplished in and through our lives? When we work our way through this series over the next few weeks, there's a couple of definitions we're going to be working with. You see them there in the material in your bulletin. You're going to see them on the screen. You're going to see them again and again. We're talking about our busyness. And for the purposes of this series, when we talk about our busyness, we're talking about activity that consumes more time, consumes more energy than it is worth in terms of actual value produced. The illustration I used Wednesday evening, I'll use it again. You take your vehicle and go plow it into one of the snowdrifts out here, okay? High center it. You can rev that engine all day, wide open, smoke pouring out of the exhaust, wheels spinning. I don't care if you've got four-wheel drive or not. There's going to be a lot of activity. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. There isn't going to be much motion. There isn't going to be much movement. There isn't going to be anything of any real value happening because you're stuck, okay? Now, contrast that with God's business, because when we talk about God's business for the purposes of this series, we're talking about activity that, yeah, it consumes. It consumes time and energy. It's not easy. In many cases, it's very difficult, but the energy, the time that is consumed, it produces outcomes of real value and worth, eternal value and worth. Over these next several weeks, we're going to consider four separate Bible texts in which God's people were busy, okay? We're going to see God's people active. We're going to see God's people expending time and energy and resources, doing all sorts of things. But in three of these texts, for all of that busyness, we're going to find that very, very little, if any, of God's business was actually being accomplished. God's good gifts of life, time, energy, they were all being frittered away, wasted. God's people weren't being very good stewards of the resources God had given them. And we're going to find that so much of this boils down to whether or not God's people were actually listening to God's voice. Whether God's people were taking the time to hear from God and to understand what it was God wanted from them. Now, we're going to look at a fourth text before we're done. In that fourth text, we're going to catch just a little glimpse of what it looks like when God's people are actually listening to God's voice, and in obedience, they're fully and freely investing their time, their resources, their life in doing God's business. And what we're going to see when we look at that text is truly amazing. It is amazing what is produced for God's kingdom when God's people cooperate with him and do his business. Now, before we do all that, however, I want to share very briefly a Bible text this morning I believe is going to help prepare the way for where we're going. It's sort of like a big picture outline of the Christian life. We're in Psalm 40, and you can follow along on the screen or you can pull out your Bibles, but we're in Psalm 40, and we're beginning to read in verses 6 through 8. The psalmist writes, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you didn't require. Then I said, 'Here I am, I've come. It's written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart.'" Now, we could take three or four Sundays just to unpack these three verses of Scripture. There's so much we could say about them. All we're going to say this morning is this: The psalmist says, Lord, my promise, my pledge, I want to do your will. Here I am. I am coming to do your will. This is my promise, God. I'm going to be your person. I'm going to be your man. I'm going to be your woman. I'm going to do your will. That's my promise. And we read on, verses 9 and 10. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I don't seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I don't hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I don't conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Not only does the psalmist say, I promise, he also says, God, I've got a plan. All right, there's some things I'm going to do. I've promised that I'm your man. I've promised that I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do your will. Here's my plan. I'm going to speak and I'm going to live in such a way that everybody around me hears and sees who you are. I'm going to talk about your righteousness. I'm going to live it. No one is going to be able to be around me for very long without seeing. Ho-ho. This is God's man. This is God's woman. I've got a plan, God. And this is, so far, really good stuff. We've got a promise and we've got a plan to see that promise fulfilled. But now we hit a roadblock. Look at verse 12. Troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I can't see. They're more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Verse 14. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled to their own shame. The psalmist says, listen, I've made a promise, and God, I've got a plan as to how I'm going to fulfill this promise, but God, I've got a problem. God, inside of me, there's this sin. And just when I think I'm going to be your man, I'm going to be your woman, there's this sin within me getting in the way. And it isn't just this problem inside of me. God, I live in this world, and there's all these people out here who are opposed to me. And they make it so hard to serve you. They come against me. They're seeking my ruin and my destruction. God, what do I do? My promise, my plan, it's in danger of failing because of this sin and this sinful world in which I live. But even here, we see God's faithfulness. Because you see, it isn't just our promise, and it isn't just our plan. It's God's promise, and it's God's plan, and it's God's purpose, and it's God's provision to help us accomplish these things. Look at what the psalmist says in verse 11. Don't withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. Look at verse 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. And then, verse 17. I'm poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Oh my God, do not delay. The psalmist recognizes, I've made some big promises, I've made some big plans, but I've got some even bigger problems. Oh God, I need your help. I need your provision. God, I need you to deliver me. I need you to save me. I need you to help me if I'm ever going to really, really fulfill what it is you want from me in this life. And I would suggest this very simple outline is an outline that describes our lives in one way or another more often than not. Because as I look around this sanctuary, I look into faces of people, some of you people I've known for longer than I've been a pastor here, okay? Some of you I've known the entire time I've been here. I've known most of you for years. And I'm looking into the faces of people I know. We want to do God's will, okay? If we took a poll this morning, every hand would be raised, every voice would be lifted. Yes, I want to do God's will. We've promised God. Any number of times and places in our lives, we have made promises to God as to how we're going to be his people and we're going to do his will. And we've made plans. We've made some big plans. We've taken some concrete steps already in life. There are steps that we intend to take, believing that they're part of the plan God has for us as to how we're going to fulfill his purposes. We've done that. But friends, we have a problem. You got a problem, I got a problem. It's a big problem. In our fallen nature, this sin continues to bubble up. And so oftentimes when we talk about sin, come on, folks, I'm not worried that you're going to turn into a murderer or an adulterer. I'm not worried that you're going to go down to the corner and rob the Cherokee State Bank or Bank Cherokee. You know, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried that you're going to get in a big bar fight and beat someone. That's not my concern. So oftentimes our sin, the sin at work within us, it's just that we waste so much time and we waste so much energy and we waste so much of our life's resources on things that God's voice has never called us to do. The simple fact is we disobey. We just don't pay attention and we just don't do what God is calling us to do. And in that wasting of time and energy and in life, we'd like to say, well, we're just living. But the fact is we're not living in right relationship with God. There's a measure of sin that's involved with that. It's also true that we face opposition from the world around us. But even here, again, folks, you know, I'm not worried that somebody is going to come and throw you into jail this week because you're a Christian. I'm not worried that Satan is going to show up at your house this week and burn it to the ground. Okay? That's really not my concern. My concern, however, is that the people of this world and the voice, the influence, the impact of the enemy, so much of it is geared to this seemingly so attractive, so wise and wonderful, but really such an incessant demand that we give in to the spirit of busyness that characterizes our age. Everybody around us says, come on, get going, get with it. Get busy. Come on. The devil is whispering in our ear. Come on, man. Get going. Get busy. Get doing. Get involved. Get giving. This spirit of busyness that consumes and wastes our time, our energy, in ways that don't produce anything of value for the kingdom of God. You know, the enemy doesn't need to throw us in a prison cell if he can get us to manufacture a prison cell of our own making. Prison cell of busyness and wasted time and energy that causes us to be totally ineffective for the kingdom of God. Why would we ever be thrown into jail for our faith if we're not, you know, if we've already jailed ourselves through our own devices? The enemy is smart that way, cunning, wicked in the devices he devises to confuse us and to cause us to waste our resources. Folks, if we're ever going to break free from this bondage, this addiction to busyness, and I use those words carefully. In some cases, it is bondage. We have been enslaved by a spirit of busyness. In other cases, yeah, we're addicted to it, okay? We like being busy because the busier we are, the less we have to think about things we'd rather not think about. The less we have to deal with things we'd rather not deal with. We just keep busy, keep going, keep going. If I keep going, I don't have to think about all those things I don't want to think about, okay? There is a bondage to it. There's an addiction to it. If we're going to break free, that sinful, self-centered thing within us, that never-ending external pressure from the world, from the enemy. We need to start acknowledging these things. We need to start surrendering these things. The painful truth is only God can provide the help and the deliverance we need to turn away from our busyness and start embracing, re-embracing God's true business. Only God has the power to change us from the inside out. To rework our values and our priorities, our sense of identity and self-worth. Only God has the power to protect us and enable us to overcome the constant messages of busyness that bombard us most every day from external sources. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about this yet before we wrap up this morning, but right now I'm just going to pause for a bit, and I'm going to invite Carter to come up here to the platform. Carter's going to talk to you just a little bit about the materials that are in the bulletin this morning, and the materials you're going to be seeing over the next several weeks as we go through this series.
It should only take about 45 minutes, so hang in there.
I told him to keep it brief.
Yeah. First, I just want you to know the irony is not lost on Pastor Trent and I that on a sermon series entitled Our Busyness Versus God Business, we are going to give you more work to do throughout the week. But that was intentional, you know.
It's business.
We ask, you know, this is for some of you in the room. You are hearing God's voice clearly. You've been learning that throughout your life. You have a pretty clear understanding of what business God has called you to be in. For some of you, may just be starting out. So this is a great opportunity for you to invest time and be intentional about that time in seeking God and His voice. For all of us, it's just a great opportunity to intentionally take some time to seek God, to hear his voice, to hear what he's calling us to do, hearing what he's calling us to start doing or maybe stop doing. And so we will be providing worksheets every week throughout this series. First of all, the light yellow one in your bulletin, this really is just an overview of the series, kind of our thoughts as leaders, as we felt like God was leading us to this, kind of sums up where we our intention behind this series. It includes the busyness and the business definitions on the inside. And then on the back of this, you'll see the series schedule, so you can kind of see what's coming ahead. We encourage you to read ahead. We've got the scriptures listed there. We encourage you to read ahead as you can. And then you also notice the weekly activity cadence. So the week is basically going to be broken up into two parts. Sunday through Wednesday is kind of this learn, kind of study and learning mindset. And then the back half of the week is really about this application or applying what you're learning. And so that, with that said, I've designed these worksheets. That's the kind of the brighter gold color worksheet. We'll be handing these out every week. There's a space for sermon notes on the back. So if you want to take notes during the sermon, there's a space for that. And then on the inside, you're going to see kind of a list of activities, really primarily focused on reading through the scriptures, spending some time in prayer, and reflecting on what God is asking you to do. If you do this every day, which we think would be fantastic to get into that rhythm, it will take about 15, maybe 20 minutes, depending on how long you want to take. If you even just do it one time between now and Wednesday for the learn section of it, it should really take you 15 minutes. So we encourage you to do it every day. We think it's great to get into that rhythm and that cadence. But we aren't, this shouldn't be too time intensive for you as well. So that's good. But we also know that 15 minutes can be really hard to carve out. It can be hard for me to carve out. So we understand that there's going to be some trade-offs. We understand that this could be challenging for a lot of us or some of us. But that's the point. We want to challenge each other, and we want to be able to grow this ability to hear God's voice in our life and also to be able to respond to what he's asking us to do. Did I forget anything?
That's great.
Okay, the last thing I wanted to mention was this is a new, Pastor Trent and I have not worked together in this way. Sermon series is new for us, and these worksheets are new for us. So please provide feedback. Let us know what's working, especially from the worksheet perspective, where you guys are getting value, where it's working for you, where it is not. I'd really like to hear that so that we, as we go through this sermon series, I can adjust those worksheets if need be and really add value into your day. Thanks.
Yeah, we really do owe Carter a word of thanks in terms of the time, the energy that he has invested in preparing the print materials. It's much appreciated. I would say this, if you have negative comments about the series, talk to Carter. If you have a lot of positive things you'd like to share, come talk with me. You let us know whether or not this is effective, whether or not this is of value to you. Because the last thing we want to do is create more busy work. That would be contrary to the very heart of what we're trying to communicate through this series. We're not trying to keep you busy. We are trying as pastor and elder to do what we can to help you be more intentional about getting past the busyness to finding the reality of God's business, the business that God has for you, that God has for your family. All right. In closing, I just would draw your attention to a verse of scripture. It's found in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. The Apostle Paul was actually quoting from the Old Testament prophet Joel. He said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So oftentimes we use this verse in the context of evangelism. We think of it in terms of the sinner who, realizing his or her sin, calls on the Lord for forgiveness and for salvation. And certainly that is a very real application of this scripture. But folks, I think we need to recognize how this scripture applies to each and every one of us. Even if we've been walking with the Lord for 20, 30, 40, 50 years or more, I still need to be saved. And I think there's a whole bunch of you, things in your life, you still need to be saved from them. And perhaps one of the things from which we need to be saved is our own busyness. The degree to which we have just been swept away by the spirit of the age in which we live. If you need to be saved from your own busyness, I encourage you in the next few days, really consider that. God, how have I become so busy that I've lost sight of your business? To just really ask that question openly and honestly before the Lord. And if the answers that start to come back are hard, hey, that's quite likely the case. I think it's a hard question, and I think the answers we may hear will be hard. But if in fact the answer comes back in one way or another, yeah, there's an issue here. You've become too busy and you've lost sight of God's business. If that answer is yes, then I just encourage you, please, start plugging into this series. Take the time to listen, to learn, to apply yourself to the study, to the prayer, to the materials that are being offered. And really, beyond all of that, more than anything, find those times and those places where you can call upon the Lord, inviting him to save you, deliver you, set you free from this busyness of going nowhere, producing nothing. I truly believe that God wants to help all of us focus and refocus our lives on this thing of stewardship, listening more closely, more carefully to God's voice, so that we might then more effectively obey, and obeying, use our time, our energy for God's glory, for God's purpose. I don't think God has left us, all right? I think God is very actively speaking and wants to speak into our hearts and lives if we'll let him. But that requires of us the time, the attention, the care given, so that he can do so. Let's pray. God, we take our lives for granted. We take time for granted. We do, and we're guilty of that. And Father, forgive us. You've given us the incredible gift of these bodies and the experience of life. You've given us the incredible gift of time, seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years worth of time. God, you've given it so freely. Thank you. God, we want to use this. You give good gifts so that we can use them responsibly for your glory. Help us to do that. Help us to be mindful of that, Lord God. We want to use our time and our energy in such a way that we're building your kingdom, that we're doing your work, that we're intent on your business. And as we dig into this in more detail in the weeks to come, God, give us clarity and understanding. Speak grace to our hearts where we need it. Speak conviction to our hearts where we need it. But Lord, when all is said and done, may we be more concerned with your business and less wrapped up in our busyness. God, God, your grace, your help, your provision, may it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, have a good day in the Lord. And whatever this day holds, my prayer, my hope for you is that you'll get some of God's business accomplished today. Amen. Have a good day in the Lord.